following aviation podcast is presented as entertainment, not flight instruction. Though some participants are certified flight instructors, their comments, opinions, and discussions of flying techniques are theirs alone. None of the co-hosts or guests on this podcast are acting as your flight instructor. Please consult your own CFI for guidance on your specific flight training, aeronautical knowledge, and aircraft operation. This is the Stuck Mike Avcast, an aviation podcast about learning to fly, living to fly, and loving to fly.
Welcome to the Stuck Mike Avcast. My name is Carl Valeri, and I'll be your host today. And today, we're talking about electronic ignition. And joining us is the owner of James Spearman Aircraft, an airplane maintenance shop in Tennessee at KGKT Airport. Before we begin, a quick reminder, though, that the 2024 version of the Scholarships Guide is published and available. And for those of you that are looking for a free one, just go to the Scholarships Guide, click on the right side on the screen at Stuck Mike Avcast, and put in Pay It Forward. If you want to pay it forward and help other people get scholarships, then you can actually go to our Pay It Forward campaign. It's described right there. It's really cool. It helps people. Another way you can help people is just hitting the like button if you're watching this on YouTube. And also you can help by going to our Patreon account. We really appreciate it because all the money that we get from the advertising and also the Patreon account, we put towards giving away those free scholarships guide. That's how we came up with the Pay It Forward coupon. But anyway, let's get started. Again, joining us today is James Spearman from James Spearman Aircraft. And we're going to talk a little bit about electronic ignition and a specific system that is actually called ElectroAir. And it's actually pretty exciting. It's been around for a while, especially in the experimental aircraft. But it has made a leap forward, and we're actually moving into the 20th century, I guess, here with electronic ignition. But first, James, welcome to the Stuck Mike Avcast.
Hey, thank you so much. Happy to be here. I really appreciate it. I listened to your podcast, so I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thanks, James. Hopefully we'll see you this year at Sun and Fun. I forgot to mention that we'll be at Sun and Fun, so come visit us. And that's here in Lakeland, Florida. But so, James, tell us a little bit about your background. Before we talk about the ElectroAir and electronic ignition, you've been around aviation for a little while. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, sir. My grandfather was a World War II aviator. He flew B-25s, B-36s, and B-52s. And I unfortunately didn't get to meet him before he passed, but my dad would always tell me stories about, you know, my grandfather and show me pictures of him in airplanes and would take me to air shows. I was in middle school and my dad took me to my first air show and a lady there let me sit in her Cessna 172, and that was about it. I didn't know how I was going to, make it happen, but I knew airplanes were going to be my future at a pretty early age. Once I got to high school and I was able to start, working, I would bus tables after school, and then I'd take my entire check to, my flight instructor and just hand it to him, by 1 hour. So I just bought 1 hour at a time. And then from there, as soon as I turned 18, I knew I was going to be in the Air Force. I wanted to be an Air Force aviator. Luckily, early on, somebody told me, hey, the best way to get there is through being a mechanic. The Air Force really loves mechanics as aviators. And I was always kind of turning wrenches anyways. So it made sense. So I joined as soon as I turned 18. And went to crew chief school in the KC-135, and then they gave me a sign-on bonus at 18. It was the most money I had ever seen in my entire life. Same thing, took the whole check to my flight instructor. I was like, let's finish my rating. I think I was still 18. Got my pilot's license, and then started going to school at MTSU, Middle Tennessee State University. Did their aerospace maintenance management program. Meanwhile, serving at the Air Force National Guard as a crew chief in KC-135s, And once I got my A&P, I started working at local shops in the area and then started working for Cirrus Aircraft. So got to meet a lot of really high-end industry guys, a lot of talent that you wouldn't otherwise get to meet. Meanwhile, still scratching at the door at the unit to become an Air Force pilot. And then, I pretty much told them, you know, if they send me an Air Force pilot training, I'm going to make it no matter what. They'll have to kick me out of, or they'll have to drag me out of the airplane, you know, kicking and screaming. I'll somehow figure out a way to make it through. And so they sent me, went to Air Force pilot training, and, been flying the KC-135 ever since. And then purchased this aircraft maintenance shop in 2020. And now we've grown a little maintenance shop with a one-man band to, 8 full-time AMPs, 4 full-time IAs on staff. And together we have over 100 years of experience. And we get to work on a lot of really cool airplanes and fly them. So.
Wow, James, that's a really cool story. By the way, for those that are watching on YouTube, that wouldn't happen to be your grandfather in the background.
It is. Yes, that's my grandfather behind me. Up above that picture of his, of him with his, his dress on as the B-36 up above him. And over to the right, actually this one here, is a B-25 with him hanging his arm out the window. And there's bullet holes down the side of it.
Wow. Incredible, legacy that you have, that's for sure, in aviation. And actually, you're keeping that legacy alive, which is terrific. And we really appreciate your service and your grandfather's, of course. B-25 is my favorite airplane.
That's right.
It's just an amazing aircraft, and been blessed to be able to volunteer on a few of them.
Oh, awesome.
But yeah, both, I had Briefing Time and Devil Dog are the two wonderful aircraft. But, today I'd love to talk more actually about the whole, your history and legacy in the aviation and the airlines, and also what you do as a mechanic at the Air Force, and as a cruise chief, I should say. But we're going to save that for another podcast. That'd be the careers podcast. But today we're going to talk about Electro Air, and it's electronic ignition. And we're coming into, and I jokingly say we're coming into the 20th century, and I mean to say it that way because we have seen this in automobiles for many, many years and have worked on them in automobiles. So first of all, the electronic ignition, for those that are like me, have never, ever, I don't think I've ever flown. I can't say that. I've never owned an aircraft that had electronic ignition in it. What are the benefits to me as an owner of an aircraft, an operator of an aircraft, to having electro air and electronic ignition?
Yeah, so if you do any flying GA and you've owned an aircraft, you've probably been left at the hold short line with a bad mag drop. It's never at home either, right? It's when you're, coming back from the beach.
Absolutely.
So, the magneto system is 1950s technology, and most aircraft owners don't really know that. It's 1950s or less tractor technology. It's a weak, inefficient system that just happens to be semi-reliable. It's very simple. The system itself, it creates a very weak spark. Usually the entire fuel air mixture that's being sent into the cylinder is not being ignited, completely. So it leaves behind a lot of carbon deposits, lead deposits, and actually the air fuel mixture is being exhausted into, the exhaust valve opens and sends it into your exhaust, and the air fuel mixture is still igniting, through that process. The electro air system, the big changes there is it is a longer, hotter, stronger spark, and that allows that hotter spark ignites the entire air fuel mixture in the cylinder, and at the same time, hopefully exhausting more and more those exhaust deposits and carbon deposits, lead deposits out of the cylinder, not leaving them in your combustion chamber. Normally, when we install the system, we will we'll start, we'll borescope it and take pictures of the cylinder, and you can see a lot of caked up lead along the top of the cylinder. And that's if you, at your annuals, if your mechanic is, you know, taking borescope pictures for you, you would, you know, he'd be pointing this out to you, the lead caked up in your cylinder. We can see after about 50 hours, those deposits being taken away. Those are kind of 30,000 feet. The benefits that everyone really likes is it's way easier to start. You've got a push button start. It does away with the rotary switch. And if you have a Piper Warrior, you've got the rotary, you've got to twist and push. You know, that's kind of annoying. So it's nice having two switches and one button. So it looks nice. The switch panel's nice. Push button start. It starts quite a bit easier, hot and cold. Increased performance. I fly everyone that I install. I think you can feel it in the seat. The increased performance on takeoff. I think you see it in your rate of climb, and so increased performance and decrease in fuel consumption. But that being said, you are controlling the fuel with the mixture. So
as far as electronic ignition and the difference to me as a pilot, what are some of, and you went over some really good things there, what are some of the other things? Maybe it'll catch me off guard, like say when I'm doing my pre-flight.
Yeah, so I would say for the most part, your operations stay the same. When you do your mag run-up or when you do your run-up, you're going to still set, you know, whatever it is, 1700 or 2000 based off of your POH. You're going to turn one of the systems off. And when you turn one system off, you're either going to be running on your magneto or your EIS, or if you have a dual system, two EIS systems, you're turning one off and running on the other to make sure that you still have that redundancy before you take off. But you turn one off, check your mag drop. Your mag drop or EIS drop is typically significantly less on the EIS. Normally, anywhere from 0 to 20 is what I normally see on the drop. I would say it's very minimal, which is nice. You don't have to relearn some whole new system. You can pretty much keep doing what you've been doing.
So that sounds like a great thing, but where, you know, Cessna 172s, Piper Warriors, Grumman Tigers, you know, what aircraft can I put this system into?
Any aircraft that utilizes a magneto, essentially.
So it has an STC for all like the piston aircraft that are out there?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. And that's something that I think is terrific too, the ease of use. The only concern that I think people have is first going back to the fact that people can get used to the system because of the single ignition. This is actually dual. And a concern a lot of folks have is redundancy, you know, and power. So how do you alleviate those concerns?
So two ways, really. The first option is 90% of your performance increase is going to come from just the one system. And so a lot of people will just still install one system. And from there, they leave the other magneto just as that backup, that redundancy. If you would like to, if you just, one of those people kind of like me that just hate magnetos to begin with, and you just want to get them out of there as far away from your airplane as possible, you would install both of them. The drawback there is the electronic system needs a power system to run. That's the benefit of the magneto, is it does not need a power system. It generates its own power. So you need a battery system to operate both EIS systems. They need to be separate. So planes like, for example, a Cirrus has two power systems already installed in the airplane. You've got a battery one and a battery two, alternator one, alternator two. Very simple to put, two separate EIS systems in there. Something like a much older, let's say 12 volt, like a Piper Cherokee or a Grumman Cheetah, you know, they normally only have one 12 volt system and one alternator. And so from there, you would have to weigh the options of, okay, how are we going to supply the second separate power system to the other magneto. That way, if one system fails, you still have that redundancy.
So give me some examples of what people do for that redundancy.
Yeah, so you can install a second alternator on your plane. It's a bigger install, though. It takes it to just a little bit more, but you're installing a second alternator and a second bus that is running the second EIS. So that's one option. Electroair also sells a backup battery that'll run the system for 30 minutes. I think, don't quote me on that number, but it's at least 30 minutes. I think it may be 60 minutes, but the button is armed when you take off. And then if at any point you lose power, it'll kick in and power the system for up to 60 minutes is what I'm thinking.
Okay. So at least you do have that backup there with a backup battery. And I'm assuming that backup battery is being charged as you're flying. Which would make sense. And prior to leaving, that's just something else you would need to do is to check the level of the backup battery, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's I'm feeling a little bit better about it. I love electronic ignition, by the way. I think I would have liked to put in my Cherokee, even though we got rid of it. But how about for people that are looking to install them in, say, either a Cherokee or 182 that has a P-Punk conversion or some other STC to additional horsepower? Is there anything else that I would need to go through, because a lot of folks have those, to be able to install this electronic ignition?
No, it's fairly straightforward. The system, and just to talk about the system a little bit, it is a little bit more than just taking the magneto out and putting this in. It is a true electronic ignition system. It's not like some of the other systems out there where they're just kind of like an electronic magneto. This system, you're installing a computer, you're installing coil packs, and you're installing a mag timing housing that goes where the magneto was. That's just sending information to the computer. So those three components, along with the spark plugs, which are stronger, they need to be able to handle a higher heat range, and another harness. Same thing, the harness needs to be able to handle more voltage going through it. It does typically require, kind of custom brackets being made to mount those units, and being a little bit creative. So the labor that is associated with it is sometimes concerning to people, but they're thinking like, oh, you just take the magneto out and put this in there. It's a little bit more in-depth process.
So if I'm looking at, say, putting one in my Cherokee, PA28160, what is there a range price-wise you can give me possibly of installing one and installing the dual ignition?
Dual ignition, I'd have to quote you on it. If you wanted to remove both magnetos, is what you're saying, I would have to quote on that. I know a single system unit on most planes, you're in the eight-ish thousand range, which sounds like a lot just based off of compared to replacing one magneto. But the benefits where it really pays itself is what you're hoping down the road. You're saving yourself a top overhaul or changing cylinders long before TBO, because most cylinders will fail because of lead deposits being built up underneath the exhaust seat or your oil control ring being all clogged up with carbon deposits. And so it either starts burning an excess amount of oil or when you bring it in for annual, the compressions are really low. So most people won't make it to 2,000 hours without replacing at least one or all six of their cylinders. So that's where it really, the real savings come in.
And to clarify, I understand, this is just with one of those ignition systems
being
replaced. How about incrementally? And that's what kind of in my mind I'm trying to figure out. Would it be worth the cost of doing both?
I would say it's not really worth the cost of doing both until you get into a turbocharged system. And unless you just really don't want another magneto on the plane, the benefits that you're going to get from the second system aren't going to be until you get to about 10,000 feet or higher. So I would say if you're in a turbocharged system and you want to realize all the benefits of the system, it's like that last 10% of the performance increase above 10,000 feet. I would say that's when it's really worth it. So I would say like an SR22T or a turbocharged Saratoga or Bonanza, something like that.
Interesting. Absolutely. So do most people, when they put this in, the electronic system, do they usually then just go with replacing one magneto then?
Yes. Most people will replace just one, unless they're a turbocharged system. That's what I've what we've seen. Although I'm happy to happy to make it work.
I can imagine. You know, it really is something that I think most people at first would feel a little bit uncomfortable with. You know, I was kind of uncomfortable with the concept, and not knowing that there was this other backup, this electronic backup, I would be reticent to put both in. But say someone does in the future want to do that, I'm assuming that's going to be just as much work and maybe just as costly, or is it just just a little bit more? Like, is it the $8,500 additional to put another system in? Like, if I'm really thinking about doing both, I'd probably do it at one time.
The labor would be essentially the same on installing both at once. Obviously, if you have to come back around and do it a second time, that would maybe not necessarily the entire amount, but it would be a little bit more costly than doing it all at once.
Gotcha. Well, this has been outstanding. To understand more about the Electro Air, they can actually, I'm assuming, go to your website and take a look. It's spearmanaircraft.com. By the way, we'll have links in the show notes down below and also on our Facebook page and our Instagram. This actually will be posted also to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/stuckmikeavcast. But James, as far as your shop, as far as someone, say, they listen to you today and say, gosh, this would be kind of cool. I'd like to come to your shop, and you're going to pronounce the name of the town for me because I didn't want to butcher it before. How would they find you, and what kind of hours do you have at your location?
Yeah, so we're fairly blessed. We're in Sevierville, Tennessee. Most people, when you think of that, is Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge. It's one of the most traveled to tourist spots in the nation. So while you're here, you can go to Dollywood or anything else. But there's a lot of things to see over here, and you've got the Smoky Mountains, and it's a beautiful flight in. It really is. We're blessed with as many mechanics as we have, so we're open 7 days a week. With eight mechanics, we're able to keep the doors open and keep things rolling. We typically have week-to-week availability just because of the staff that we're able to maintain.
Cool. So I tell you, this is a real great option, and I highly recommend you checking them out there. James Spearman, Aircraft. And one of the things that I think is also amazing is when you hear people, because again, I haven't really flown one. When you hear people talk about it, they're like, they don't ever want to go back again and to the old magnetos. And the simplicity of starting, if they have dual, it's also very simple to start and turn that off. But one of the things I really think is important is whenever you're doing some type of an upgrade is get as much information as you can. So I'm hoping someone can maybe reach out to you. If they do have questions, obviously you can go to stuckmikeavcast@gmail.com and we will forward those to James. But you can find him at spearmanaircraft.com, and they're really good about getting back to you on questions and things like that. In Sevierville, Tennessee, what is the airport again? That's KGKT, if you're going to head on out there. And timing, if someone was going to do this, could they, how long would it take normally? Do they need to drop the plane off for months, weeks?
No, normally we have week-to-week availability, and it takes about 5 days to install the system.
So you could actually plan your vacation around going to this beautiful part of Tennessee. You know, just the whole state is just gorgeous, and you could spend a lot of time, rent a car and enjoy just Gatlinburg, Dollywood, just like you said, and have an incredible ignition system on the way back. But if I can't make it there, is there any way you know, I can't stay there. I should say, and I need to go home. Is there any way that I can get out of where you are, like the closest airport commercially, or if you do any type of ferry?
Yes, sir. So we do offer a ferry service. So we try to make it as easy as possible for people to let us work on their airplane. So that custom basis, whatever you need. Locally, there is McGee Tyson Airport, and they have flights, Allegiant, going all over the country. Happy to give you a ride there, or if you would like a ferry flight, we'd be happy to take care of that as well.
And for those that are new to airplane ownership, this Electroair has been around for a while, especially amongst the experimental folks that are out there. Back in the 90s, I think it was late 80s, early 90s, they got their start in electronic ignition. And people just really, really like them. That's actually where I've heard of them. I just started just a few years ago looking at the electronic ignition in the Cherokee, and have really been excited about this. And if you're interested, again, just check out the website there. And James Bierman Aircraft, and you're going to find out that they have a lot of good stuff out there. And also Electroair, by the way, on YouTube has some really cool stuff that explains the system. And just to give you an idea how long it's been around, most of their videos are, you know, ages. I mean, they're like 10 years old, 5 years old. So it's a product that's been out there. Any issues, by the way, as far as maintenance, and what have your customers said about the system? I should have asked that.
Yeah, so... the only thing that we've seen over time, I haven't seen any issues with the product yet. So knock on wood. We haven't had any issues with any of the products or defects or anything like that being installed. The only thing we've seen is it, like we talked about, it's clearing out a lot of the deposits and lead. And I have seen on a couple of the planes after about 50 hours, it gets a little bit harder to start, or feels like a little bit of performance is being robbed. And then we cleaned up the injectors and spark plugs, and it was good as new again. So I think as that more and more of those deposits are breaking up and getting cleaned out of the cylinder, that's really the only thing I've kind of seen.
Awesome. Well, James, thanks again for joining us here. We appreciate you here, SpearmanAircraft.com. You can find them on Facebook, also on Instagram, and right here at Stuck Mike Avcast. Before you go, though, just remember, we're going to have him back on to talk about his career, because it's a really interesting career getting in to maintenance on our sister podcast, on Aviation Careers Podcast. And by the way, and if you want to reach out and meet us at Sun and Fun, will you be there? Aviation Careers Podcast has a booth there, but also the friends from Stuck Mike Avcast will be there. And we also, every year, we volunteer at Sun and Fun Radio. We have the crew from Stuck Mike Avcast volunteering there. We'll be running around doing some interviews and talking to folks just like James here. James, again, thanks so much for coming here. And we really appreciate what you do out there. And thanks for your service.
Thank you, Carl. You're awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much. And if you're listening now and you're thinking about this as far as electronic ignition, again, there is a lot out there on the internet, spearmanaircraft.com. You can find out more. We'll have all those links in the show notes. But if you're thinking about doing anything in aviation, whether it's, you know, something mechanical, or you want to try to get a new rating, possibly you want to try to figure out how to pay for that, you can look at our scholarships guide that we have out there. But there's so many different resources. And I challenge you to go out there, and if you're thinking about aviating today and you can't get up in the air, go on the internet, learn more about actually electronic ignitions, learn more about the thing that you want to do in the future in your flying. Maybe it's an instrument rating, a multi-engine rating, maybe it's buying that new experimental aircraft. But do get out there and do some flying. Well, folks, we'll talk to you next episode. Safe flying out there.